Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Robert Spencer, the director of JihadWatch.com. He's also a best-selling author on all things related to Islam. And what I want to focus on in this segment, Robert, is this ongoing problem in the West, where we seem to see one attack after another by committed jihadists, and nobody wants to connect the dots and say, oh, these are Muslims who are acting out their interpretation of Islam, of the Quran, of the Hadith, the Muslim sources, and we need to recognize that connection, but they're not willing to do that. Oh, no, this is unrelated, isolated incident. So just recently there was an attack with a truck in Berlin. How are we to understand this? And the Western leaders just don't get it.
Well, they don't want to get it. They refuse to get it because if they got it, if they spoke honestly about it, it would show up exactly how disastrous and damaging their programs really are. And so their political lives are at stake in this denial and willful ignorance. What they're doing is they're trying to cover for the fact that they brought in hundreds of thousands, even millions of Muslims into Europe and North America while not being able to or even trying to screen out Islamic jihadis from among peaceful refugees and migrants. And so they have allowed this problem to fester and to grow, not only in bringing in these people and inundating our countries with them, but also in allowing them to establish Sharia enclaves where Islamic law, which is at direct variance with Western law in numerous particulars, has been allowed to flourish. And so now they're getting jihad attacks, and they are—they're surprised. No, they knew this was going to happen, but they are bent on pursuing this globalization program anyway. And they dissemble about the motivating ideology behind these attacks because if they spoke about it, then the obvious next question would be, well, then why did you bring in so many of these people into our country?
Okay, so take the example of the man who drove the truck, or let's say the one who drove the truck in Nice, in France, killed about 80 people on Bastille Day, or again, the recent attack in Berlin. What's going on in their minds? What are they thinking? Why are they doing this?
Well, I think that they're thinking that if they bring in large numbers of immigrants from particularly Muslim lands into the West, and fundamentally transform Western societies by giving them large Muslim populations, then the world will essentially be at peace because every place will be basically like every other place. And so there won't be any reason to go to war because every place will be demographically similar. Every place will be essentially the same economically, socially, politically, militarily. So there won't be any reason to go to war. And so I think out of this misguided sense of a desire to bring about peace and harmony, they are flooding our countries with these people, and they just really don't care that there's going to be a rise in jihad attacks as a result.
Wow. Okay, what are the attackers thinking?
The attackers are thinking that they're warriors of Allah who are earning a place in paradise and serving their God by killing infidels, as they're commanded to do in the Quran.
And it's just that simple.
Well, yeah, essentially. I mean, the Quran offers conversion or subjugation or death to the unbelievers and to the people of the book, that is specifically, which includes Christians. And even in post-Christian Europe, the Europeans are considered to be Christians by the Muslims. And so they think that they have an imperative before Allah that they have to offer them conversion to Islam, or submission under the rule of Islamic law as inferiors, or death, and that's something that is commanded, as is a divine command that they have to implement. So they have a divine responsibility. This is not just an optional thing to bring this to Europe.
Okay, now you would think that Angela Merkel, having grown up in Eastern Germany, knowing what the difference is between freedom and non-freedom, tyranny and liberty, you would think that she'd be kind of sensitive to those who are opposed to liberty, you know, even if they're on German soil. So your comments there?
Well, I think that the only way that I've been able to make sense of all of this happening is to posit that all of the Western European and North American leaders, with the notable exception of Donald Trump,
yeah,
have been for quite some time and are globalists who believe in this homogenization of world cultures and peoples. And they think that this is what's going to bring peace and that Merkel is operating on that basis. And, of course, I don't think Merkel knows the first foggiest thing about Islam, just assumes that it's another religion like any other and that Muslims are just as peaceful and tolerant as anybody else, or not peaceful and tolerant as anybody else. And so she doesn't really have anything to worry about a tiny minority of extremists who have hijacked the peaceful religion of Islam and all that. And I think they do believe their own nonsense in that regard.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, the year 2016 began with some attacks in Germany, and then I understand that those who were reporting on this, for example, even letting people know about it on Facebook or something, the German government came down hard on not those who did the attacking, but those who were attacked. You know, like, don't get the word out, you're spreading hateful rhetoric on social media, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
What? How does that work? Tell us.
Well, this is
maybe
the sleight of hand that
go ahead. I'm sorry. After you.
This is the sleight of hand that the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which is the largest voting bloc at the UN, has been pursuing for over a decade now, that when an Islamic jihadi or an imam who's preaching jihad says, kill the infidels, that is something that is a matter of religious right, and it's their right to say it as believers in this particular religion and so on. But when somebody like me or Geert Wilders quotes them, then suddenly it's hateful rhetoric. And this is it's sort of a trick, a sleight of hand, as I say, that they've been putting over on people for some time, that the people who report on and are trying to stop jihad terror are the ones who are responsible for any hate, not the ones who are actually perpetrating the jihad terror. And I think that it's part of a larger initiative, really, to deflect attention away from the reality of jihad terror and also to silence criticism to it so that it can advance unopposed and unimpeded.
Now, there may be many people listening who don't know what happened in Germany, around Cologne and other places, on January 1, 2016. Enlighten us.
That was a terrible thing where over 2,000 Muslim migrants, mostly from North Africa, they actually committed sexual assaults, including rapes, of over 1,000 German women at New Year's Eve celebrations. And there were very few police on hand. At one point, there were only 68 police on hand. Very few of them were found. Very few of them were arrested. And very few of them were ever prosecuted. And it was sort of an emblematic incident in the clash of civilizations that this migrant influx represents. Because Islam teaches that women should veil themselves, cover their hair, cover everything except their face and hands, so that the Quran says, so that they will not be molested, which implies that they will be molested or can be molested if they're not covered. And it also allows for non-Muslim women to be taken actually as sex slaves. This is in the Quran in several places, and to be used in this way. And so the migrants in Cologne were just acting in accord with Islamic principles about non-Muslim women and about uncovered women. And the migrants everywhere that they come are going to be acting according to those beliefs. But our political and in military and intelligence leaders refuse to acknowledge that those beliefs exist, and so they're not taking any steps to protect women from this kind of treatment.
That is so amazing. Can you imagine the double standard? I mean, you think about the left and how they, you know, will denounce, rightfully so, you know, any kind of domestic violence. They'll denounce sexism or whatever. And yet they allow all these terrible things to happen in the name of Islam. And they look the other way because, oh, well, that's their religion or whatever, the religion of peace. The double standard is just ridiculous. It's preposterous, to use a good Ann Coulter word.
Yeah, you're quite right. It's very glaring. It's very obvious. And it's extraordinary. And it seems to me these people couldn't possibly be this stupid. The only other possibility is that they really don't have our best interests at heart. They really think that nation states and national identities, ethnic identities, that's what's wrong with the world. And so they're determined to destroy them. And in the process, they're going to destroy the West.
Wow. Okay, now, let me ask you this, and that's so ironic, too, in light of the fact that these people, many of whom are refugees coming from these countries where Islam is played out day by day, and they're like, hey, we don't want to stay here. We want to flee because we want freedom. You know, everybody wants to be free. But then they want to turn around and impose Sharia on the West when they come. But aren't there some refugees that just, hey, we just stop leaving, you know, leave us alone. We left Syria because we want to live in peace and freedom. Aren't there some people like that? Or they left Iraq because of the mayhem there?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there are some genuine refugees. There's no doubt about that. But there are also quite a few who are not genuine refugees. As a matter of fact, this whole thing has been presented as a crisis of Syrian refugees when study after study has shown that half of these people are not Syrian. And so just,
where would they be from? Where would they be from,
well,
then?
Take, for example, the attack in Berlin some time ago, and the initial arrest was of a Pakistani who had come to Germany as a refugee. Now, if you think about that, Jerry, Pakistan is not a place that ought to be with any refugees. It's not at war. Yeah. It's a relatively stable society. And so why are they coming from Pakistan? They're coming from all over the Islamic world. And they're coming primarily actually from Africa, and they're coming basically as economic migrants to make a better living in Europe, but they're also coming as emigrants in the Islamic sense. And the Quran promises great rewards to those who emigrate in the cause of Allah. That is, they leave one land and they go to another.
Wow.
To bring Islam to the new land. And that is something that many of the refugees have said, that's why they're there, when they've been interviewed in Europe. And so this is something that, once again, it's not on the radar of any of the government or law enforcement officials who ought to know about this. They wouldn't know a hijra if it hit them in the face, but it is actually hitting them in the face, and they do not know it. It is a genuine and important, central, indeed, concept in Islam to emigrate. And this is something that is motivating a great many of the migrants. But you never see any discussion of that in the mainstream or among government officials.
What was that word you said? They wouldn't know it if it hit them in the face? And
oh,
how do you spell it?
Hijra, H-I-J-R-A-H. As a matter of fact, the very beginning of Islam itself is not when Muhammad becomes a prophet, but when the hijra begins. That's the beginning of the Islamic calendar, when Muhammad moved, when he emigrated from Mecca to Medina to become a head of state and a head of an army for the first time and to bring Islam to the new land. That's the model hijra, and every Muslim is promised rewards if he emigrates emulating Muhammad in that way and brings Islam to a new land and dies in the new place trying to bring Islam there. And so the whole idea of emigration in the cause of Allah is motivating a great many of these migrants, but it's not discussed anywhere.
You know, I can't help but think of the phrase fatal naivete. That's what we're talking about, fatal naivete on the part of Western leaders. And I'm glad, by the way, for Trump's winning this election, the fact that he was willing to, you know, connect dots the average politician wouldn't do. And you know, shame on Barack Obama for never being willing to name Islam when there is a nexus between those who do these things. Now, that doesn't mean every Muslim is a terrorist, but certainly in our day, many of these terrorists are Muslims. Come on.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think that you have a very good case, and it could well be naivete, but I still, the more and more I see this, and doing this day in and day out for so many years now, I have started to think, Jerry, that it's not naivete, that they know what they're doing, and they're hoping to bring this on as part of this globalization program, the idea of flattening out, leveling all differences between people,
yeah,
so that there'll be no more reason for anybody to fight anybody else.
Wow. All right, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. JihadWatch.com for more information. Robert Spencer, always a pleasure. God bless you, sir, and have a new year.
Jerry.
Have a great new year. All right.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.